there was a gate which stood at where the Flora Fountain stands today. And this church, being at a very close proximity to the gate, gave this area the name Church Gate. Hello and welcome to the 7th episode of Giggly Magazine podcast. I am Shanaya Wag, the founder of Giggly Magazine. And this week we are coming back to Mumbai and visiting a very important church in this city. Now, I come from Mumbai, but the thing is, most people don't know about this church and its significance. And people assume that it's a pretty new church, but in fact, it is 300 years old. And it will turn 301 this year in December, on the 25th of December. Without further ado, let's begin with the St. Thomas Cathedral. And this cathedral, let me first tell you the significance of this cathedral so you understand what's there to see. So this neo-Gothic structure that you can find today is right where the Bombay Green stood, just beside the Asiatic Library today. And it is that spot which is the closest to the Church Gate Station. And the Church Gate Station gets its name from this church because there was a gate which stood at where the Flora Fountain stands today. And this church, being at a very close proximity to the gate, gave this area the name Church Gate. And that's where all the trains for the Western Line start from in Bombay. So that's the significance of this church. It's been there before the railways came to Bombay. And there are two important things that you can find inside this church. The first thing is that there are pews here. And these pews were used by Mother Teresa. And she prayed here at the pews. So there's a plaque marking her presence here. And you can sit in that place as well if you want to get that feeling. But if you are more into royalty, if not Mother Teresa, then let me tell you that the British King George V and his wife Mary of Teck had come to this cathedral to pray. So when they came to Bombay as the Prince and Princess of Wales, they came here and they attended a mass in the cathedral. And you find two chairs with the plaques on which they actually sat here. And you can sit on those chairs as well and just take in that feeling that you're sitting on a chair used by royalty. So that are the three things that are astonishing about the St. Thomas Cathedral. Not many people know. Well, the other thing that will strike you as very unusual in this church is the memorials. So just imagine a beautiful Gothic cathedral with a beautiful arch and the walk to the altar is long and wonderful. And as you enter the church, you will notice that all the surrounding walls are filled with memorials. Huge memorials, small memorials, were packed from the bottom to the top, as far as I can go. And you'll probably take hours to read each and every one of them, and you'll probably break your neck. They're that tall and long. And you'll find such interesting stories. Since this cathedral is really old, and now you don't find anybody asking for memorials on the walls, but the stories that these memorials tell you are of something that comes from tales. It's stories of pirates, highwaymen, and people who have died because of these highwaymen robberies, and people who have not been successful from their voyage back home to England or from England. There are so many stories. And in one such memorial, you'll find seems to be something like a Hindu pandit standing there. I don't really think that's possible, but I have no explanation. But there is such a memorial as well. And you have memorials of, as I said, all shapes and sizes. Some of them are so elaborate. They have statues carved on them, and it's incredible. If you have a free day, just come down to this cathedral and just have a look. There are so many, and it just surprises you that these things actually existed and not just come from our fairy tales. With that said, let me tell you the history of the St. Thomas Cathedral. because learning the history of this cathedral will surprise you that such things literally happened in Mumbai. And once upon a time, Bombay was nothing but an island where people came for a livelihood and not anything like the hustling, bustling city that you can see today. There existed greenery, there existed life beyond money. Well, 300 years ago is a long time for Bombay. Saying that this island is really new, in the sense that it was only when the British took over from the Portuguese that they really decided to build a proper city out of whatever seven islands previously, and that seven islands, reclaiming these seven islands, led us to the city of Mumbai that it is as you see today on the map. So 300 years ago there was nothing here, a lot of greenery, lot of people dying unfortunately because of disease, and a few British people and a few locals, probably the Kohlis, who were living here. And when Gerald Ungerer came to Bombay, he saw this. He saw people dying, mostly Europeans. He saw a lot of locals who were fisher folk. And he thought, well, there isn't a single church in sight. Well, simply because Mumbai was home to the Kohlis, who are Hindus, they're not Christians or Protestants. So when Gerald Ungerer came here, he wrote a letter to the court of directors and he asked them to erect a small church for the public worship in the center of town. And it seems very interesting to think that the center of town was where the current church is located. Why was this the center of town? It's probably because where the Asiatic Library stands today was the town hall. And around that was kind of the first business district in Bombay. And it was called the Elphinstone Circle back then. And now it's called the Hornimum Circle. And that's right where the church stands. So he came, Gerald Ungerer, he came here and he thought about building a church. And he wrote to the directors, the court of directors. And they got things rolling. They opened up donations. People were so excited that they ended up paying the entire wages or part of the wages to build this church. They had a lot of money coming in and the work quickly began. But unfortunately, 3 years later, Ungerer, he died. And after Ungerer, there was nobody to take over and construct, and the construction came to a standstill. There were a lot of problems, I think, which happened, a lot of scandals, but it just came to a halt. The walls were just 15 feet tall and that's it. Nothing else had happened. And the church just lay there. The money, I don't know what happened to the money either. Seems to have been forgotten because there was not much of bookkeeping or accountancy that was followed. Probably went into some pockets, some deep pockets. Anyways, afterwards, a few decades later, if I may say so, a man called Richard Cobb, he came here. Richard Cobb was a chaplain and I think he was a really persuasive orator. So during a mass on Sunday in the June of 1715, he appealed to the crowds that had gathered to build a proper church in the center of town. And he was so persuasive that he managed to gather 50,000 rupees. 50,000 rupees in 1715 was amazing. Today you will not even get a single, probably a wall considered in 50,000, but at that time it was something that was amazing. And he took over, he saw that the construction was taking place and he looked at what was there available to them. And unfortunately, most of the things, the pricey things that Ungerer had put money into to build this church were all now lying in derelict. So there was a beautiful organ, I think it was imported, which was also unfortunately subjected to the weather, and it was lying in derelict and it was just of no use. So it had to be discarded. They had to buy everything again and build. So this church finally was completed on the 25th of December 1718. So yes, last year it celebrated 300 years, and this December it will be celebrating 301 years. And this church is beautifully decorated during Christmas. It's worth visiting. And they have a wonderful organ today. I have heard somebody playing it once and it sounds beautiful. It sounds like melody to the ears. When this church came into existence on the 25th of December 1718, there was a huge feast that was celebrated in the honor of this church in the castle. So there was a 21 guns salute for the church, and they had a huge meal in the castle later on. It was a big festival in the city of Bombay. Well, that happened in 1718. But there is something I need to tell you, because it's really funny. This church looked something like you had never seen in your life before. This church had cow dung floors, which is pretty typical for Indian, especially Maharashtrian architecture. And its windows were covered with oysters. Yes, oysters. Why oysters? Probably because they found them in abundance here. Because again, we are living in coastal Bombay. So they had a lot of oysters, which they used apparently. And these oysters were put on the windows, so it blocked heat and light. And as you know, it's very hot and humid most of the year in Bombay. So that helped. Garden floors and walls helped to keep the interior cool as well. So they were all systems before the fan or the pankha came into existence. And there is an account of the evensong, which is a ceremony which takes place in the evening, taking place at 4 o'clock in the church because it gets so dark. That's something I read in Mrs. Gillian Tyndall's book. She's an urban historian. And she's written that the evensong is to take place at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how dark it would get in the church. Well, then to make things more awkward for the church, in 1810, they painted the entire church green and they added palm leaves to it and some more foliage. Well, I know, it sounds so weird. Probably, I don't know why, probably to camouflage it with the surroundings, because at that time there was a lot of greenery around in the area that around the church. Probably just somebody's fancy. But I have seen a picture. Somebody has done a painting of the St. Thomas Cathedral entirely green. And it actually happened. I had visited this exhibition in the local museum above this church. And that's where I got some most of this information from. But apart from that, they had this picture put up as an exhibit. But because it was true that they had painted this church green, like leaves green, not my favorite color, but that was what it was. 3 years later, in 1813, a market decided to gather around. So here was the church, and right opposite to the church facing this way, just here, they had a marketplace. It became a huge marketplace, probably because the church stands on the road which cuts across, goes straight to the former Bombay castle. That's where the castle stood. And apparently, to the north of that lane was the native town, and the south of that lane was where the Anglo-Indians, the English stayed. So probably because it was at the boundary, so to say, a market sat here where you'd find people haggling with your grocers and everybody, and they'd all come here. There's a lot of hustle bustle. It was a marketplace after all. A lot of probably shouting and stuff like that. But it became a happening place from the place that probably was very peaceful and quiet. But inside the church, you still find that it is very quiet. Today it's not a marketplace, but it is a busy road. But inside, when you go in, it's so peaceful, it just takes you to another place. It's that way. But in 1813, it became the center. It literally became the center of town where the marketplace sat. And 3 years later, in 1816, they found out that, well, we've had this church for over 100 years. Started building in 1715 for the second time. Completed it in 1718. And now it was 1816. And they still didn't have a name for this church. That's probably the reason why they called the gate at the near the church just Church Gate, because there wasn't any name. So a bishop, Thomas Farshaw, Middleton. I don't know whether he was connected to Duchess of Cambridge's family. Don't think so. But the bishop, he consecrated this church in 1816 and called it the St. Thomas Church. And in 1837, Bishop Thomas Carr, he created the Diocese of Bombay. And the main church or the seat of the bishop would be the St. Thomas Church. So it was called the Cathedral of the Sea. And soon later it was called St. Thomas Cathedral, like we call it today. But even in the 1830s and 1840s, you wouldn't have recognized this church because it looked nothing like it does today. So what happened? Well, in 1855, there was a hurricane that pretty much destroyed, I think, the spire of the church. And so they decided to rebuild it after almost 10 years. A man called James Turbeshaw, he proposed plans to rebuild the church in a very neo-Gothic style. And his church looks something like the Salisbury Cathedral looks like. It had a spire which was very tall and the rest of the church was a flat, a bit and beautiful Gothic. But his designs had to be altered. So ultimately, the base cathedral was the same. Just the spire was replaced with a bell tower. And that's just how the cathedral looks today. Just that he had created archways to enter the church, I think, from the sides as well, which are now been closed with concrete. Probably, not so sure, but that's what the pictures show. And this bell tower that he built was 149 feet. It was one of the tallest. Because it was the first thing that you'd probably see when you came to Bombay. And why I say that is, imagine if this is the end of Bombay, it's tapering downwards, and you have the church in the center. Ships wouldn't dock on the western side, they would dock on the eastern side because that's the actual safe harbor of Bombay. Bombay is a safe harbor. So they'd come to the eastern side and dock. So when you take an entire turn around Bombay, you'd see only and only the tower of this church. And there was a skeptical Victorian woman who was not very happy to find herself in a very drab city like Mumbai, which with just flora and fauna and nothing else to do. Here is what she said. She said, "The tower of the cathedral rising in the center is the only feature of the scene which boasts any architectural charm." She was not happy. She was definitely not happy with finding herself here. But when you enter the church today, you will find beautiful stained glass windows. There's this beautiful stained glass at the altar and one at your left, on your right hand side when you enter. So there were three people who designed this. There was Charles Emer Kemp, Lavers and Broad, and Henry Holliday, who designed the stained glass. So that was how this entire church came to be. The highlight would probably be when you visit and you see the memorials. For me, it is really interesting. I mean, as I told you, there are highwaymen, pirates, ships that have not reached from one shore to another because it was probably a one-way journey. Because I've really read a book actually written by Mrs. Gillian Tyndall where she really tells us what it was like coming to Mumbai. People didn't live. There were so many people who died in the first year of arriving here. It was that bad. But now it's not the case. Now it's a very industrialized town. It was back then, probably when there were a lot of swamps around. It wasn't reclaimed. It was probably there was a need to reclaim Mumbai because, as I said, there were seven islands and they weren't really islands. They were connected by swamps when there was no high tide. And that was a nice ground for the mosquitoes to breed. So it created a lot of diseases. Now that's not the case because it's all been concretized. It's a concrete jungle now. So that leads us to the end. But you must be thinking, well, about the quiz. Wait, yes, there is a quiz. Let us start with the quiz. I'll ask you these five questions. You get them right, you will get a shout out. So the first question is, which famous plot devised by Guy Fawkes planned to blow up the British Parliament? I need the name of the plot. It's a very famous plot. It's still celebrated in the UK and it's called the Guy Fawkes Night. Just send me the name of the plot. Which famous plot devised by Guy Fawkes and his men to blow up the British Houses of Parliament. What's it called? Just let me know. Second, what's the famous UNESCO site in Karnataka, which is known for its beautiful temples? It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And if you're an Indian, you'll find this on your rupees 50 notes. I don't have one currently, but you'd find them on the new rupees 50 notes. Third one, which palace stood on the right bank of River Seine in front of the Louvre Palace till the 19th century? So this palace burned down in the 19th century, but it stood opposite to the Louvre Museum till the 19th century. Name the palace. Then, which famous temple in Egypt was saved from drowning? So which famous temple in Egypt was saved from drowning? I'll give you a hint with this. This beautiful temple literally was transferred from one spot to another because they were about to build a dam across the river which would flood the area around this temple and it would get submerged. So to protect it, UNESCO, the Egyptian government and some 50 other countries helped move the entire massive temple, and you can still see it today. Name the temple. And the last question is, what type of churches are famously found in Scandinavia? What type of church was called? It's famous and you'll get that in Scandinavia. Then, let me tell you something that will feed your brain for this week. So this week, the feed the brain is something really massive. Okay, so they've excavated in 2007, they excavated about 17,577 Roman coins, which belonged approximately from 32 BC till 274 AD. And they found these about 18,000 Roman coins in 8 different pouches underneath the Gainsborough Hotel in Bath. And these coins, 18,000 of them, were later auctioned off and they sold for a whooping £372,200. Wow. So that is what Roman coin will fetch you. It's kind of like a follow-up in between about the Roman baths. I am working on another video for the Roman baths. Well, that leads us to the end of this podcast. I will see you next Friday with another video. And if you've got any questions you want me to address in the next video, you just DM me on Instagram or comment under one of the posts that you'll find on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Go and follow Giggly Magazine on TikTok and like this video. Give a heart to this podcast and please share it with your friends so I can reach new people. That's it for this week. Bye-bye.